1 Corinthians chapter 3, say amen when you have it. Amen. The Bible says this, and this isn't the main scripture I'm going to preach on, but I'm going to use this as a springboard for what I want to talk to you about today. It says, who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers through who you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Someone say, God gave the increase. Some translation says God made it grow. The Bible goes on to say, now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, and you are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it, but let each one take heed how he builds on it, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus the Christ. Let's pray one more time. Father, we ask you, have your way. I need you. Please remove me. Speak to your people. In Jesus' name, we all say, amen. You may be seated this morning. And this morning, as we get into the message, this morning I want to speak to you on building on a solid foundation. Amen. I want to talk to you about building on a solid foundation. You know, whenever we strive to build something great, how many know that everything starts with a solid foundation, right? If we're going to build a house, the first thing that needs to happen is you need to level the ground and make sure that the foundation is firm if you want that building to stand over a period of time. And the same thing with life, right? If you're trying to build a career, right, you have to have a solid foundation to stand on, because when building a career, you're going to go through a lot of loopholes, right? You're going to have to go and fight against the nature of the world. And we as Christians have to make sure that we don't play king of the hill in the marketplace. Right? Because how many remember that game when you were little, right? When I was little, we played that King of the Hill, and it was the last person standing, and you would do anything in your power to pull somebody down so that you can raise up. As God's people, we have to make sure that that is not our foundation and that is not our mindset. If you want to listen to me, build a successful marriage, you have to have a solid foundation and understand the nature of God's laws if you want to make it. Are you hearing me? The point I'm trying to get at is this. Anything that is built to last has a proper foundation. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. I want to talk to you about building on a firm foundation. And I want to talk to you about building God's church. Amen? And that's kind of what I wanted to get out today. Like, you want to know our motives, and that's what I want to preach to you about today is our motive as Victory Outreach Tacoma. We want to build a church that glorifies God, receives all types of people, and sees restored lives, and we want to take as many people to heaven as we can. When I tell you I want to build a church, I'm not talking about I want to build a performance system for Sunday mornings. When I tell you I want to build a church, what I'm talking about is I want to build a church that loves people. More importantly, I want to build a church that when people walk through the doors, they can sense joy, they can sense support, they can sense acceptance, and they can feel your love because of the gratitude that's in your heart because of what God did for you. See, what we're trying to do here is not just build a building or get a bigger church. What we want to do is we want to love on people and give them the hope that is found in Jesus Christ. That's what we're trying to do here. The other day I was telling somebody, I'm trying to build a big church. When I mean big, I'm not talking numbers. I'm talking generational curses to be broken. I'm talking about families being changed forever because someone stood up and said, I will not live like the world. We want to build a church, listen, that when I die, that people will stand here, my grandkids, listen to me, will stand up one day and say, I thank God for my grandma, my grandpa, that they taught my father, Josiah, how to preach the gospel, that I watched them. Listen, my father knows how to pray. He knows how to stick it out because of what his mom, Jessica, taught him. Are you hearing me? I want your children's children to talk about what you stood for in years to come. Are you hearing me? We're trying to build a church that glorifies God, accepts people, and serves as an entryway for people to realize their calling in life. You know, when you look at the scripture we opened up with, here the Apostle Paul is speaking to the Corinthian church, and he's teaching them kingdom principles about growth. How many know that God's principles are much different than the world's principles? So what was happening during this time, let me give you just some background. The Corinthian church was growing numerically, and they were growing spiritually. But what began to happen as people grew spiritually, new teachers started rising up, right? So the people who originally started with Paul, they only knew Paul's teaching. But how many know that as people grow spiritually, they have a sense of calling? And as our church grows, I'm not going to be the only preacher. There are some of you, God's already doing a work in you, and God's going to raise some of you up to preach. But what was happening in this story was, God started raising other people up to preach, and some started arguing in the church saying, well, I follow Paul. And others said, well, I follow Apollos. It would be a lot like if some of you said, well, listen, I follow Pastor Eric. And some of you say, well, he's cool, but I follow Brother Kenny. Right? That's my leader. He's the one that prayed for me. He's the one. And then we started to divide within the church. So this is what was happening in the Corinthian church. And here you have the Apostle Paul. He hears of what's going on within the church. He sees that they're starting to have sections and divisions. So he writes a letter to them. And his letter starts off by saying, who is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. And then he goes on to say, I planted, but Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. And then he goes on to teach them a very important principle. He said, so then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one. See, the lesson he was teaching to the church was a lesson on unity and learning to labor together with one purpose. If this church is going to reach its full potential, you and I are going to have to learn to keep the unity. Come on, somebody. I so bad want to go UNITY. That says my age, amen. But how many know that unity and the sound of unity sounds good, but it's not always easy to do, right? Married couples, wave at me. Come on, somebody. What we have to understand about God's work is that it's going to take unity, and it's going to take a passion and commitment to keep and stay the course. See, what you have to understand about the Lord's work is this. God desires to work through us. And we know this because right after he writes this to the church, he goes, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, and you are God's building. According to the grace that God gave me, I am a wise master builder. And Paul says, I laid a foundation, but another builds on it. In other words, what he was saying was, yes, I was the founder of the church. Yes, I am a master builder. I started the church. I laid its foundation. But he goes on to tell the church, stop stressing that there are new leaders, because there are going to be people that are going to build on top of what I already laid. Right? Now, for me, this gets me excited, because where I came from, I didn't come from a place where I really, like in my family, we were kind of like the black sheep of the family, because like my dad's side of the family, we have doctors, we have people with like their doctorates. And in our family, I didn't go to college, I didn't go to school, but all my cousins did, right? And I remember thinking that I was just going to work hard and make a paycheck. That's what I thought life was about. I thought that one day I was going to get married, I was going to have a kid, and it was going to be all good, and I would work till the day that I died. But when I came into the church house, I started hearing messages that said, God wants to use your life. People started telling me things like, God has a plan for your life. Listen, young man, God's something, there's something great for you. Right? It was in the church that people told me that I can do greater things than I ever thought possible through Jesus Christ. And I say that to say this, we all play a role in the plan of God. You this morning, whether you know it or not, whether this is your first time here or you're a member here, you play a key role in God's plan. We have the privilege, listen to me, to serve God. We have the privilege of helping change lives and building God's kingdom for His glory. Every church that exists, exists for a reason. And every church that is Christ-centered, they're a part of the body, and we have a role. Some churches are better at other things than other churches. That doesn't mean they're better. I mean, they might be gifted in some areas, but nonetheless, listen, they all have a calling. Our church has a specific culture. Our church has a specific calling. Are you hearing me? We're not less than any other of any other church, and we're not higher than any other church. We're simply a church that wants Christ to be the center. Now, I bring that up to say this. Listen, church, we have the opportunity. We're living in the last days. One of the last promises of Jesus is that one in the last days, He was going to pour out His Spirit on all mankind. It's the great revival. Listen, we're living in the last days. You and I have the privilege to be here during this time, during this hour, to bring a change in the most corrupt society known to mankind. The moral weakness is consistently falling. What greater opportunity for God's people to step in and make a change? You play a role. Look at the person next to you and tell them, you play a role. Our desire here in this church is that we want to grow spiritually, and eventually we want to grow numerically. I want to build a church that glorifies God. I want to build a church where people are hungry for His word. I want to go to war with people and do life with people that love people. Are you hearing me? It's not about just showing up on Sunday. You know, Pastor Christian said something in his message. I don't know if you caught it. He looked at our church, and there wasn't a lot of people that day, but he said, you're growing as a church. That hit me. And he said, what I see happening in your church, God is building a foundation for a lot of the people that have been with you for some time. They may have struggled, but God is building their foundation because what He wants to do in this church is great. Listen, I got good news and I got bad news. Which one do you want first? Who wants the bad news? Who wants the good news? Who doesn't care? Well, I'm going to tell you the bad news. The bad news is the devil hates our church. The bad news is the devil is always attacking the people within our church. That's the bad news. But let me give you the good news. The good news is God has called this church. The good news is that God wants to do something great within this church, and He wants to do it through His people. Are you hearing me? Now, I've been asking God, how in the world do we build your church? And I took that very to heart. Verse number 11, it says this, but let each one take heed how he builds on it, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is Jesus Christ. You know, I often think about how in the world did the apostles build the first church? I think like that, right? Because they didn't have the Bible during that time. They didn't have the internet. They didn't have YouTube. Come on, somebody. You don't know how to do something YouTube it, amen? But I often wonder and ask questions, how in the world did these 12 men build and organize God's church? And if you study Acts chapter 2, you would find that all they had was the remembrance of everything God had taught them, and they now had a helper whom would guide every step of the way. And as I was asking God, God, what do we need to do to build this church? The Lord was reminding me, Eric, the first thing you have to do is remind the church that I need to be the center of their individual lives. And when I become the center of their individual lives and we enter into a room, you will be united and you will feel the presence, the power, and the glory of God. And I feel like some of you need to hear that, because I don't know where your ambition has been or where your motives are or where you're standing at today. But listen, God has called you into fellowship with Him, but He's also calling you into the family of God. That's what we are here. We are a family of people that love God. So I asked myself the question, how did they build God's church? And when you look at Acts chapter 2, you find a glimpse of what they did. And that's what I want to go over with you quickly. Because the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 2:42, it says, and they continually steadfasted in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders inside were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together, and in all they had all things in common. Verse 47 tells us that they met together with gladness, and God added to their number daily. When I study Acts chapter 2, when I look at the first church, I notice something very important. That church had a specific culture. Someone say culture. Culture. See, culture is made up of your values, your beliefs, and your behaviors. The culture that you feel here within the church when you show up, it's because what we believe, right? It's what we value, but it's also our behavior. Do you know sometimes you ever come into church and like you can just feel the heaviness? Right? Well, sometimes it's because of our behaviors the night before. Right? Right? We want God to move. We want God to do a great work in our lives, but we're up till 4 in the morning and then we show up. We had church at 10 o'clock. We moved to 10:30. Right? Because I was like, hey, people will get here on time. Maybe we'll do 10:30. We started having service at 10:30. People started showing up at 10:45. We went to 11 o'clock. People started showing up at 11:15. We went to 12 o'clock. Are you hearing me? You know where I'm going with this. We have church at 12:30. And sometimes we show up at 1. Come on, somebody. Someone say, ouch. Can I tell you that? Are you mad at me? It's all right. Forgive me. But I say this, listen, we're trying to build a church that models after the heart of God. The original church had, I know where I was going with that, behaviors, right? Culture is built off of behavior. We can say we believe in God. We can say we value worship. But if your behavior during worship is like this, if your behavior during worship is you're constantly getting up and leaving, or your behavior during worship is, just let me get it in real quick. Let me see if somebody liked my post. Or if you have the mentality of, you know what, don't worry. Pastor Eric isn't going to start preaching till probably about 1:30. So we can miss worship. We have some times. If that is, right, we can say we acknowledge something and that we love something. But if our behavior doesn't match what we say, that becomes the culture. Right? Culture is built off what you value and what you allow. We value the Lord, so we're all here, right? But if I allowed you to talk crazy in church and I, the pastor, didn't say something, that would become our culture. See, those of you that have been with us for some time know that at some point, if you're doing something off the wall, we're probably going to approach you if you come to this church. Not because we want to get all up in your business, but I really do believe in the calling of a shepherd where we pray for you. We care for your soul. We love your family, and we want to speak life into you and scare the hell out of you. Right? I want to scare heaven into you. Are you hearing me? But we need to build a specific culture. And the culture that I want to build, I want to model it after the first church. Now, real quickly, there's four things, and we call this the four pillars of the early church. There are four things that we see this church did. The first thing was they devoted themselves, the Bible says, steadfastly to the apostles' doctrine. In other words, they were devoted to the doctrine of the apostles. Remember, in the book of Acts, they didn't have the Bible yet. All the apostles had was the teachings of their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What did he tell them? Go into all the world and make disciples, teaching them, right? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I taught and everything I've commanded you, right? So that's what they were doing. But what we see in the first church was that these people were devoted to the Word of God. If our church is going to make it, listen, this can't just be another book to you, right? You can't rely on your phone for a Bible. You millennials that are here, I know it's cool, but listen, you need to have a Bible. There's something about having your own Bible that you can pick up, have a cup of coffee, have an iced tea, and read. Are you hearing me? If you want to live a victorious life, but you read 15 minutes a week, your life might not be that victorious. Are you hearing me? And I say the reason why this has to be important, like for our church, right? We want you to know the Word of God. The reason we preach messages like this is so that you know the Bible. Our purpose as a church should always come from the Word of God. Because everything starts and ends with the Word. John 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning, the Word already existed. He was with God, and He was God. He was in the beginning with God. He created everything. There is nothing that He didn't make. Life itself was in Him, and this life gives light to everyone. See, the Word of God is the one thing that will remain. Long after we're gone, this Word will remain. But this Word was there at the beginning. It's here in the now, and it's what gives light towards our future. Although Jesus was 100% man, He lived here on earth. He never ceased to be the eternal God who always existed. He was always the one that existed. He is the creator and the author of your faith. Are you hearing me? But you know what the Bible tells us? Jesus was having a conversation with His disciples and the crowd, and He says, those who hear these sayings of mine and practices them, I will liken him as a man who built his house on the rock. It's not enough to just hear the word. We have to learn to practice living it out. Are you hearing me? It is living God's word that sustains our success. This word is all powerful. Any question that you have is going to be found in this word. But we as God's people need to develop a hunger for God's word. The early church, they devoted themselves. The Bible says they went from house to house. This is the importance of having Bible studies. Right now, we only have a few Bible studies. I know Brother Everett has a Bible study. Brother Kenny has a Bible study. Brother Chris has a Bible study. My wife has a women's Bible study. But you know what happens in those Bible studies? Right? Like right now, like I haven't gone to your guys' Bible study. I'll be there soon. But like if you look at what's happening with the women's Bible study, I peek in. You see them connecting. You see them growing in their word. I see them having conversations about the word here at the church. What's happening is they're being united, and there's a hunger to read the word of God. When we begin to base our relationships off of God's word, listen, your relationships will last longer and go a lot smoother than you could have ever imagined. Are you hearing me? So the early church, they dedicated themselves to the word of God. The second thing that they did, the Bible says they devoted themselves to fellowship. Someone say fellowship. Fellowship. Now the word fellowship comes from a Greek word called koinonia. Now this describes the bond of a common purpose and the devotion that binds Christians together to Christ. See, the early church, they placed a huge priority on genuine connection. Someone say connection. Connection was something the early church dedicated their lives to. And listen, this is an important point, because if we're going to be a church that glorifies God, we're going to need to be people that learn to combat isolation. Are you hearing me? I don't know if you've checked, but isolation is a big part of the paranoia that lives within people's minds. Real story. Anxiety and isolation is alive and well. You know what isolation means? It's the act of separating oneself from people. This is even happening in God's house. There are people that are members of our church, but you live in isolation in the four corners of your home. God didn't intend for you to do or walk through life alone. Are you hearing me? God wants to connect you with someone else. There are people within this house and people that God will bring who will be a blessing to you, but there are people that God's going to draw in that you're meant to be a blessing to. Are you hearing me? If we're going to be a church that reaches the masses, we as a church need to understand koinonia, the fellowship, the genuine fellowship that brings us together in the name of Jesus. God never intended for us to walk through life alone. We even see this at the beginning of the Bible. In Genesis 2:18, God made man, and this is what he said: it is not good for man to be alone. Most people take that scripture and they reference it to marriage, but that really had nothing to do with, well, it had a lot to do with marriage, but it wasn't isolated to marriage. What that scripture has to do with, our need for human connection. And I want to combat that mentality that says, all I need is the Lord, Pastor Eric. I don't need anybody else. And there's people that have been hurt, right? We've been hurt in church. We've been hurt at our workplace, right? And sometimes we're like, well, we come, we get ours, and then we leave right away. Listen, don't leave right away, because what if God brought somebody that day and you were the one that were supposed to speak to them? I'm talking about building God's church with a culture and an atmosphere of joy, with the culture and an atmosphere of people that are happy. Can you smile at me for a second? Smile at your preacher every now and then. Come on, somebody. It makes my job a lot easier. What you have to understand is God has called you into fellowship with him first, but he's called you into fellowship into God's house. Let me prove it. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with his son, Jesus Christ. We're called into fellowship with God. But this is where it tells us that we're called into fellowship with one another. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. You know what I love about the blood of Jesus? It breaks all cultural barriers. You know what I love about Jesus? It breaks every prejudice. There is no room for prejudice in the house of God. This isn't a black thing. It's not a white thing. It's not a Latin thing. Listen, it's not an Asian thing. This is a Christ-centered thing where we love God. We love people. It doesn't matter their background. It doesn't matter what they've been through. It doesn't even matter what they've done. If they said, God, forgive me, make me whole, make me new, then we got to honor the fact that God's word says, behold, all things have passed away and all things have become new. Sometimes we look at certain people and we're like, we got, they're cool, but okay. Well, I'm not going to kick it with them. Listen, there can be no prejudice in the house of the Lord. There can be no, you know, and I say that because it's easy to click up with people that are like you. We got to be open to new things. And new ways of life, right? We're an international ministry. We have churches in Indonesia. We have churches in the Philippines. We have churches in Cape Town, South Africa, in Colombia. Listen, we have churches in El Salvador. We have churches all over the world. And people that are going to these countries are people like you and I that have heard the message of the Lord. I believe that some of you are going to go one day. But we got to make sure that we understand, any man that is called, listen to me, to the ministry, you have to learn to combat isolation, because you cannot be effective and be isolated. God has called you first into fellowship with him, secondly into fellowship with one another. Fellowship makes a clear connection, listen to me, between personal faith and our value on people. Are you hearing me? Is this making sense to some of you? Okay. So hopefully all of you. The point I'm trying to make is relationships matter. The early church knew this. They dedicated themselves to constantly meeting together. The third thing that the Bible says that they did was they not only fellowship, but they met together to break bread. Now this is very symbolic because the breaking of bread was a symbolic act that was represented in the Levitical practice. In Leviticus chapter 24, 5 and 9, the priests would come and they would break bread. Acts chapter 20, verse number 7, we find that the apostles, the Bible says this, on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, the early disciples were living out the Levitical principle of meeting together. And what the early church did, they not only met together, it's like fellowship is good. Fellowship is when we connect. Fellowship is when we do life together. We have celebrations together. But I got to caution you. If your relationships are simply built on connection, over time, you will find some sort of irritation that will cause you to either push people away or give you a reason to cut bait. I'm going somewhere. The reason why breaking of bread was different from just meeting the fellowship, because the early disciples, they came together on the first day of each week, but when they broke bread. That was a representation of communion. It was a time where they met specifically as a time to remember their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When was the last time you invited somebody to coffee and you said, I want to meet you for coffee, but all I want to do is talk about what God has done in our lives? Hanging out is great, but I'm talking about being intentional. This is where discipleship comes into play. There are some of you should be discipling already. Somebody new comes into the church, we invite them over our house for lunch or dinner, and we just talk to them about what God has done in our lives, because some of you got stories that now need to be spoken to the masses. Some of you now gotta wipe off everything you've been through and say, I know I'm not proud of that, but God can use that to reach somebody that was just like me. Are you hearing me? The breaking of bread was a time where God's people would get together specifically to reflect on what God had done in their lives. This type of intentional gathering is important because there is power in connection and in reflection. Are you hearing me, church? And this is God's desire. Jesus said this in John chapter 17, my prayer for all of them is that they will be one, just as you and I are one. Father, that just as you and are you as in me and I and in you, so they will be in us and the world will believe that you sent me, right? So if we are going to be like the early church, not only are we gonna have to learn to value the word of God and become students of his word, not only are we gonna have to learn to battle isolation and understand true connection, but we're also gonna have to learn to put this into play where we meet together intentionally to specifically talk about what God is doing within our lives. Are you hearing me? See, a Christ-centered culture is what grew the early church. What we want in our church is a Christ-centered culture. When he is the center of our relationships, when he is the center of church, that, listen to me, when Christ is the center of our relationships, you ready for this? This is deep. There's less drama in the church. Are you hearing me? When Christ is the center, all things get easier. And I feel led to say that because, can I tell you what bothers me? Can I tell you what bothers me? People that come to church for the purpose of wanting to get to know the Lord. But you got to be on guard and remember, culture's built off based off what you value and what you allow, okay? Some people genuinely, they come and they want change in their life. But there are some that they kind of want change, but they don't want change, but they want to live in both worlds, so you know what they do is they fish. And they'll throw things out there. Man, church was good today. Hey, let's hang out sometime. Hey, it would be cool to catch a cold one day. Hey, it would be, man, I wish, man, it's a hot day today. Back in the day, I used to do this. If you had one, would you do it? Oh, it is quiet in here, boy. But I say this because you know what happens in church? People come together, right? And they genuinely want connection. But this is the problem with connection. If Christ isn't the center and you're battling temptations, spirits know familiar spirits. I see people all the time come in, they meet in church, they're no longer in church, yet they're doing dirt out there on the street. There's one of them messages on, look at me. You need to make sure that you work out your salvation with fear and trembling. This is why, for you guys that are in the home, I always tell you, culture's built off what you value and what you allow. If I allow you guys to be disrespectful, if I allow you to constantly get away with authority, like in our home, there's some things that we don't tolerate. You threaten, we'll kick you out. We're done. We're not going to tolerate that. You know why? Because if someone gets crazy with Ever one day, and I come in and say, hey, Ever, love on them. Let's keep them. He says, nah, man, he almost, right? The next guy is going to remember that. And because I let him slide, guess what? Somebody else is going to get crazy. If we allowed it, that would become our culture. Now, why am I? I'm getting somewhere. Because in our church, we got to be a church that values the Word of God. We got to be a church that values people's souls more than we value our popularity. You can get mad at me all you want, but when you get to heaven and you stand at the gate, my prayer is that they tell you, you were told about the gospel. Your pastor preached the uncut word of God. He kept you along sometimes on Sunday, but he told you the truth. Are you hearing me? We're living in a day and age where people want to hear them feel good messages. Pastor, tell me how my life is going to change. Tell me about the miracles. God, show me the way. But I want to live in two worlds. Culture is built off what you value and what you allow. We value prayer. That's why we try to pray before. We don't have our own building, so it's a little bit tough. But we value prayer. Are you hearing me? The Bible says in Acts 2:46, daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily. The fourth thing that they did, and I'll be closing here. They dedicated themselves to God's word. They dedicated themselves to fellowship. They dedicated themselves to the breaking of bread. But the fourth thing that they did, they dedicated themselves to prayer. Someone say prayer. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1, 13 and 14, and when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying. It said, Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. They all joined together in constant prayer. What would happen to this church if we started getting together outside of church, outside of Wednesday, outside of Sunday, and we simply got together, hey, brother, Ever, come to my house, we're going to pray. Right? Hey, Sister Jessica, come to my house. Can we pray at my house? Hey, Brother Jesse, come pray with me. Hey, could you come over? Let's just grab a hold of the Lord. The Bible says that these apostles, they did this consistently. Listen, prayer is our way of communicating with God. Prayer is the changing factor. Listen, prayer has the ability to change the temperature in any room. In order for the church to grow, prayer will have to be an important component. Listen to what the Bible says, Romans 12:12. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Someone say prayer. Jesus said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, and will hear their land. Something happens when we come together in humility. But if we're going to build the church that truly has the power to break bondages, we need to become people of prayer. Are you hearing me this morning? The early church had a kingdom culture. They were always together. The growth of the early church hinged on the balanced focus of learning God's word, fellowship with one another, breaking of bread, and dedication to prayer. And church, I got to share something with you. You know, I was praying this week, and God's been dealing with me. As a pastor, he's been dealing with me. And I've been like struggling with prayer, like, God, like, what do you want to do? Listen, building a church is not easy by any stretch. There's times that I wake up with immense anxiety. There's times our family is affected. But it's my calling to shepherd and love people. That's how God built me. And in the process of this, I've been asking God, how are we going to build this church? Because I ain't going to lie, I stopped looking at Facebook at some of these churches. Right? You know, you see the clips of their, like, great service. And you hear the preacher's preacher. I'm like, man, I wish I could do that. And it gets discouraging. You see churches with hundreds of people. And I was sitting there praying to the Lord. I said, God, how do we build this church? And I felt like the Lord calmed my spirit, but I also felt like he rebuked me. Because the scripture he gave me was Psalms 127:1. He said, unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. And I feel this is a message for not only myself, but for those of you that say, I want to build this church, I want to build God's house. The reminder is this: we can work, we can be busybodies, we can show up on Sunday, but if he's not the center of our lives, everything we do in attempt in building God's house will be in vain. Are you hearing me this morning? In order for the church to grow, we have to make sure Christ stays at the center. Listen, Victory Outreach Tacoma, we're not just here to have church, to sing a couple songs, listen to a word, and go home. No, we are here to build on the foundation that has already been laid. We are here to reach families. We are here to stay the course, not give up, keep fighting, keep pressing, keep believing, because the best days are ahead of us. We are here as a church to love the unlovable, to give hope to the disillusioned, and to open our arms for those that have been forsaken. That's why we have church. And this morning, as we close, I don't know where you're at. I don't know where your heart lies. But I feel led to tell you that some of you are at a crossroad. It's like God is pulling at you. But you got fears that say, I'm not sure if I want to go all in yet. But the truth is this. If you go with your fears, anxiety will rule your life. But if you surrender to the Lord, you will experience his power and goodness. If we're going to build the church that loves people, we're going to have to learn to build a kingdom culture. We got to get the world out of our church. We got to get the world out of our church. Those things that we tolerate at home, listen to me. There are things that I had to check in my home that I can't tolerate anymore. I'm going to speak to the parents for a second. Be careful what you tolerate in your house. I know you love your kids. I know you don't want to scare them away. But don't, listen to me, enable them to do what's wrong out of fear of losing them. Because what you're doing is you're co-signing their sins. Be very careful, because you will stand before the Lord one day. And I say that because even now, I'm checking now. My son is on YouTube all the time. Hold on. Let me see what you're watching. And when you really slow down to check, because sometimes we give them our tablets or we give them our phones. But when you slow down and you really check what they're watching, you're like, this isn't okay. And the Lord was reminding me, that's my responsibility. But if we're going to change the world, listen to me. If we're going to change the world, we got to live out the Bible and confront the things in our heart that we've learned to hold on to for dear life. It's better that you let it go than God have to break your hand to take it from you. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Now, I didn't plan on the message going in that direction. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to remind you that God loves you, that God wants to set us free from all of the things that hold us down. God wants you to walk in joy. He wants you to be successful this morning. But he also wants to be first in your life. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to pray for those of you that are here. I want to pray two prayers. The first prayer is that you say, I want to help contribute and develop a kingdom culture within our church. What that means is I want to help implement those four things within my life so that when I come to church, I can be a help to someone else. If that's you, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask you to lift your hand and quickly put it down. God bless you. 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 If you say, I want to do those things so that I can be a blessing for other people. Secondly, I want to pray for those of you that are here that you're at a crossroad. On one hand, you really desire to know God, but on the other hand, you're afraid. I simply want to pray for your fears this morning. If that's you, lift your hand and quickly put it down. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. This is what I'm going to ask you to do. As the worship team begins to sing, second thing I'm going to ask you to do, if you lifted your hand, I simply want to pray for you this morning. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to slip out of your seat, come to these altars, and whatever you have, just release it to the Lord. If it's fear, say, today I give you my fears.
From the cup in your hands, lay back against you and breathe. Feel your heart.
Come on.
This love is so deep, it's more than I.
Come on, with every head bowed and every eye closed, just focus on the Lord. If you lifted your hand, I'm going to ask you to slip out of your seat. Give it to the Lord this morning. Don't fight any longer. Father, we need you.
This love is so deep, it's more than I can say. I melt in your peace, it's overwhelming. I wanna sit at your feet, drink from the cup in your hands, lay back against you and breathe, feel your heart beat.
is more than I can stand. I am held in your
Father,
feet.
We need you.
It's overwhelming. I want to see that
Father, we love
feet.
You.
Drink from the cup in your hands. Lay back against you and breathe.
Come on, just worship the Lord.
His love is so deep, it's more than I can stand. I melt in your peace, it's overwhelming.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, have your way. Have your way, Father. Have your way, Jesus. Have your way, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. If you're here this morning, and you simply say, Pastor, I need to work on those four areas of my life. I want to grow in my ability to read the word. I want to grow in prayer. I want to learn to value genuine connection, but I also want to genuinely and intentionally connect with others about what God has done in my life. If you're here this morning and you say, I need to grow in one of those areas, if that's you, I'm going to ask you to repeat this prayer after me. Say, Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Thank you that you were faithful. Lord, my heart's desire is to know you more. I want to grow, and I want to help establish a kingdom culture within my home and in my church. I want to help people further their relationship with you. But in order to do that, I need you to strengthen me. Would you help me to grow in all of these areas so that I could be effective for you? It's all about you, Jesus. I thank you. In Jesus' name. Secondly, I want to pray for those of you that are here. And there's no shame in this. There's no shame in this. If you're simply battling, like you want to do it, but it's tough, man. It's hard. Life comes at you. And you simply need strength for the battle. You know you're not quitting. You know you're not going back, but you need strength for the battle. If that's you, repeat this prayer after me. Say, Jesus, I need your strength. I love you, and I'm willing to follow, but I'm asking you to build a solid foundation beneath me. Without you, I'm nothing. I acknowledge that you are the Savior of the world. You are the Son of God. I know you died for my sins and arose. Help me to believe. Remind me that you were always there and that you'll walk with me every step of the way. Father, guide me in Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for all that you're doing. Lord, I pray for every person that's here. Lord, our heart's desire is to build the church that glorifies you. Lord, we ask you to make us better. Father, make me better. Grow me. I want to grow. Grow us individually so that we can establish a culture that helps people further their relationship with you. Father, as we go into our week, would you allow us to have your peace? Would you break every yoke of bondage and every anxiety and every fear? Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you're doing. We love you. We bless you. In Jesus' name, we all say, amen. Come on, put your hands together for Jesus.